Inside on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska. It's realestateconcepts.net. And Iowa Computer Repair. You want your computer to work? That's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. A stunning report on what happened on Wall Street this week, or today, rather. With us in studio from RE/MAX Concepts is our friend Lance Hansen, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we set you up there, Lance.
You know, did.
Housing prices are going down. Sales are going down.
It's
the end of the world as we know it.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. It's done. I'm just, you know.
You're just biding your time until you can go on welfare. Is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Why? So these are the stories that we get from time to time, and they are looking at national averages, and they're saying, well, home prices have slid, home sales have slid, interest rates are going up, and then the interest rates aren't going up. And, you know, it seems like we're in a bubble here in the Des Moines market. Are we?
You know, I don't know that it's a bubble. We're always off of the other markets just a little bit, good or bad. You know, it could go either way. But the numbers, I'm always cautious of the numbers because you really have to pay attention, because are sales down from January of this year? Are they down from February of last year? So you have to look and see, you know, what numbers you're working against, because there's always something to say. You know, they're either skyrocketing or plummeting. There is no in between.
Well, in between doesn't make news.
No, it doesn't.
You know, I mean, if things are just chugging along, man, you can't make a headline out of that.
I mean, the headline is that there's just not near enough inventory on the market if it's under 300, and there's a pretty good supply that's over 300.
This is an ongoing concern. This has been going on for months.
The third year.
Yeah.
This is the third year that we've been reduced in inventory. And the gap during that time frame from about 2008, late 2008, to about 2012, that four-year gap or so was where development wasn't happening.
Right.
Lots weren't available. And we're just now. This year, we're just catching up with development. And so lots are becoming available and that kind of thing. Well, you know, supply and demand, you know, lot prices went up. Once they're up, they don't come down much.
They certainly don't. Well, I remember, okay, this goes back to 2010. Mm-hmm. In 2010, this is my personal story, okay, so hang with me on this for just about 60 seconds. In 2010, we agreed to buy a property for a set amount. And I remember some friends of mine who happened to be in the real estate business and happened to be with you at one time in the real estate business.
You bet.
Came over and took a look and said, I wouldn't pay that for this place. This isn't worth, you know, this is worth half of that.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yes.
So we sat on it. Okay, just sat on it and had an agreement with the seller that in 7 years we're going to do the deal. And we did. And the valuation finally topped up well over what they were asking.
Sure.
But you had to wait.
Yeah.
You know, because we were really in a pickle in 2010.
Yeah, in 2010, that was tough. I mean, the bottom was, beginning in 2011,
right.
I think, bottomed.
Well, the home valuations just plummeted.
They were tough. I mean, we didn't see the coast and Arizona and Las Vegas and like that. But we did see them plummet, and we had some areas that were down, 40%. And that, man, it was harsh.
Yeah, it was harsh. Well, now we're over that, and valuations have come back.
Yes.
But now it's a matter of housing stock.
Yeah, it's just, the builders we're finally switching. There are about four builders out there that are building entry-level, affordable, quote, housing. We're getting back down into the lower 200s on housing, and people are giving up. They're foregoing their two-car or three-car garage. They're foregoing finished basements. We've got sliders that walk out to a step that goes to grass in the back for a future deck going on. So we have a lot of things that are back in the day when you were trying to get the maximum square foot for the lowest amount of price and then have it in a system that you could then expand and build up and make more valuable as you lived in the property. And we got to go back there.
And that's one of those things. We just had a story last week, as a matter of fact, how home remodeling opportunities have just skyrocketed. You know, people are doing a lot of that to add value back into their home. And there are some projects out there that really do pay off well.
They do. Yeah. And it depends, you know, location obviously depends and price range depends. But I mean, there's some gimmies. I mean, most of the drive up stuff is, you know, almost without a doubt pays back, you know, new front door painting, redoing some stuff, some landscaping, that kind of stuff. That's a great return on investment. Kitchen remodels without getting too excessive tends to be somewhere in that 90% range.
Yeah.
Most of the things that are common, we're getting 75 or more back, which is a different, you know, we were down to where you're getting 50% on your remodel stuff for a while. Yeah.
So that is important. Lance Hansen, ladies and gentlemen, Remax Concepts. He's with us. He makes this a trip in on a regular basis.
It's a long way, but I drive for you.
I understand that. Well, you're in town anyway tonight.
Yes, I'm just up the street. I'm going to the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, which certainly shows my age, you know.
but it should be fun.
It'll be a good time. Yeah
that's so over
fishing
at Hoyt
Sherman? In the dark. We're going.
Yeah. You know. Fishing in the dark.
Yeah, that's it.
Hoyt Sherman place tonight.
Yes.
All right, that sounds like fun. To talk about housing and housing stock, I have a friend of mine who's just sharing with me that, let me just be really out there with this. I'll just tell you what happened and who it is and where it is. Jefferson, Iowa. I was in Jefferson, Iowa to do a presentation up there. And the issue of housing came up. There are not, according to the city administrator in Jefferson, there are not enough homes in Jefferson. They've got jobs up the wazoo, but no place to put anybody.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a call all over the place where if you have housing, people will come. But if you don't, if you've got jobs, nobody's going to go there because they don't want to drive 40 miles.
Yeah, yeah. And we're finding some of that, you know, as Des Moines / Iowa becomes a little bit more nationally known, you know, great workforce, you know, good wage sets, you know, schools are good, you know, weather we can live with sometimes. But as that gets out and companies relocate and they're looking, you know, companies looking for a 50-person workforce, and they can look in small town Iowa and get really skilled people. But when you go along and you roll into a place and you need maybe out of those 50 people, you know, 15 of them are transferring in and there's no houses. There's no place to live. There's no apartment buildings down the street. And it's really hard on new businesses coming in and then, you know, to get the inventory built. I mean, you're developing and putting and houses in, you know, that's a 2-year process minimum. Minimum.
Well, is it also a risky process? I mean, you're not a builder. I am not a builder, but I would suspect. I mean, we saw this in Grinnell, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Grinnell had Zippo housing for you know, because they've got the college going on there, and they just didn't have anything. They finally ended up talking to, I believe it was Hubble, and Hubble said, "Okay, fine, we'll come in and build some houses."
Right.
Well, they did, and guess what?
Yeah.
Choo, they're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, just that quick. Is it that much of a risk for contractors?
Well, there's always a risk. I mean, you really have to understand the marketplace and where it's going. And when you start to do a development and look for developing, you know, all the process that goes along from acquisition to, you know, final purchase of the last home in the development, you know, it's a minimum 5-year roll.
Mm.
So you better know what's going to be happening, you know, 3, 4, 5 years out.
Sure.
If you don't, then you're really just rolling the dice. But I mean, you get developments out there. I mean, you go out here in the Newton areas and Baxter and out that direction, they will give you money to buy a house.
The city?
Yeah.
Really?
They're out there. You can get $10,000 handed to you for buying a house and moving in. $10,000.
Isn't that amazing?
No strings.
Isn't that
no
amazing?
No payback, no time frame. Boom, you closed, done.
done.
It's amazing.
Mm. Is that something that's happening in more and more cities as they try to attract people?
Yeah, you know, and it's that, you know, what's the cart, what's the horse?
Yeah, right,
you know,
right.
Is it the jobs first or the people first? And it's like, you know, commercial entertainment venues, it's roof first. I mean, if you don't have roofs, you don't get the entertainment, you don't get the restaurants. That's how it works. So it's a tough call, but you have to have the ability for expansion. You have to have that out there. And so it's a combination of public, private, you know, get together, let's set up a plan, let's work things out. You know, where's the land going to be developed? Can that be bought and then held? Can you give the lots or make them a whole lot cheaper, subsidize the process? You know,
there's
it's
a lot of ways
thing.
To do this.
Yeah. Forest City did that way back for Winnebago. And I mean, we're talking 20 years ago.
Yeah. You know, in again, back to Jefferson, you know, city administrator said, you know, we've got a lot of really nice houses around here, really nice houses. And then we've got a lot of houses you wouldn't want to put anybody in. We don't have anything in the middle.
Right.
So it's there as well as here.
Yes. Yeah.
There's
no question. And that's why the rehabbing of houses is so important, you know, both for investors that are buying and flipping and rehabbing homes to bring them back on the market. They're right now, they are an absolute godsend, those people. They're the only ones that are taking housing that's reasonable, putting good money into them and making them come back in service.
So is it still available? I mean, is it still possible to make money on flipping houses?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. That, especially in that market, that below 200 market. I mean, they're dying to have places. So, you know, if you get that opportunity where you can buy a house for 90 and you can put 30 in it and sell it for 185.
Hmm.
And it sounds like a lot of money. I mean, you've got carrying costs and loan charge. You've got all the stuff and the risk on top of it. But, you know, somebody out there that's got some money, some cash and skill set, when you can work out there for a couple of months, 3 months on a property and pick up maybe $30,000-$40,000.
That's worth it.
It is. But it's risk.
Sure,
you got to do it right or it doesn't sell.
Lots of times, and I was talking to a city administrator type today from a different community, and they were telling me that housing in their community, the housing stock, is deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it's deteriorating. I said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, people are coming in and buying these places and turning them into rentals.
Yes.
Problematic? Can be?
It can be, yes. Yeah, that was part of the issue with the Neighborhood Finance Corporation. What they did to turn neighborhoods around is because when you've got a property, it's not in wonderful shape, but you need to sell it, then, you know, a regular guy isn't going to come and buy it. An investor is. And if the investor buys it and is going to turn it into a rental, they don't invest the same money back into it. And so it's a slow, steady downhill move, you know, because they don't fix rentals up like they do if they're going to resell. And so NFC then enhances the product line so that people wanting to live in the house can buy them. People wanting to sell the house, there's a resource for the repairs that need to be done. NFC is the most amazing thing for a neighborhood. I mean, it's remarkable. They're looking at changing, like going to Cedar Rapids. And
moving out of, you know,
yeah.
Right.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, it can really have an impact on everything in any community.
I don't know if you've had them on or not. They're a phenomenal program.
I've got to get them back.
They're
on.
A phenomenal program.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're only in certain communities, aren't they?
They're in Des Moines,
right.
Totally.
Right.
And there's some different levels, some enhanced communities. But,
right.
Yep.
Yeah, we will have to thank you for that.
Yeah, they're good
stuff.
Another
reminder.
They're good stuff.
Go bring them in here and talk more about what's going on in housing. So what about RE/MAX Concepts? Other than Nitty Gritty Dirt Band tonight, I mean, yeah. Things are going okay?
Yeah, just, you know, we're growing, and then we're in the technology turnover right now.
Yeah.
And it's brutal, you know, that just what do you go to next? Because all of the technology is turning right now. Because of big data.
Sure.
So it's all changing, all turning. And so we have to study like crazy. Say, okay, what's the best thing for our agents? What's the best thing for our for Concepts itself, you know, for the services we provide? And then how can we advise our agents on what direction to go? Because that's a lot of money to invest.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. RE/MAX Concepts, ladies and gentlemen, they've had a name change over the year. And is it RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts to just RE/MAX Concepts?
Yes. Yeah. We want to keep it simple. Keep it simple.
like we already know what that means, right?
Yes,
yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Lance, for coming in and doing this,
no,
as
I appreciate
always.
It.
Always interesting. So if you are in the market for a house, and if you're looking in that middle under $200,000, what do? Keep looking?
You have everything done. You have your financing together. You have all this stuff together. You have your plans together of how you're going to do things. You have a good, solid agent that's willing to search out the ends, the little periphery areas. You know exactly what you're looking for. And if the agent calls, you get in the car and go.
Move.
Yes.
Yeah.
Immediately get in the car and go. Yeah. And be willing to make a decision.
Got it.
It's hard.
Yeah. It is that time of year. Thanks, yeah. Lance, for doing this.
You bet.
Lance Hansen, ladies and gentlemen, RE/MAX Concepts. All right, we've got to clear on out of here. Earlier in the day, we were talking with Lucas Nelson about medical marijuana and cannabis oil, which is going to be done by Kemen Industries, it looks like. Very interesting. And Lance Hansen with RE/MAX Concepts. Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer, as he is each and every day. Jimmy Olson, the voice of Inside on Business, the News Hour. A fellow by the name of Patrick Wood is the brand manager for the radio station. Mary Sayer is our den mother. She's the one that kind of keeps everything under tow, so to speak. Jeff Delvaux is the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group. The music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett, exclusively for the Business News Hour. We got to get out of here. We'll be back, God willing, tomorrow at 5 o'clock with more of the Business News Hour. Until then, my name is Michael Libby. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man, would you please? Good night.